Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Welcome to yet another week's mystery, featuring an unnatural death with a trail of clues and false leads to be traced by the sniffer dogs of detection. And this week's sniffer dogs are, as ever, two professional crime writers. John Harvey, as well as being the creator of the sandwich-loving Inspector Resnick, is a poet, a publisher, and a jazz buff. Val McDermid. Val's written the Kate Branigan and Lindsay Gordon series of books, as well as some mesmerisingly gory thrillers. Our guest investigators. But our murder mystery also needs corpses and criminals, red herrings and wrongdoers, all of whom will be represented as ever by our cast of two, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Okay, time for a crime. Attention, please, as we listen to Maria and Lee reading the opening to this week's mystery, Commercial Death.
It was time for the breakfast show on Radio Goldie FM. As 6 o'clock approached, from Studio 2, the voice of the DJ on the graveyard shift, Charlie Chubbs Farley, had back announced the final disc of his show and done a bantering handover to Donnie Troop, the breakfast DJ in Studio 1.
That was the fabulous sound of Duke Ellington with Take the A Train,
Chubbs had said.
And now, going from the sublime to the ridiculous, it's time for Donnie Troop, the man with a gerbil on his chin, or, goodness me, is it a goatee? Well, Donnie, where on earth did that come from?
Must have come from the top of your head, Chubbs.
Donnie Troop had replied.
Oh, the hair must have gone somewhere. Anyway, folks, welcome to the show. And let's get breakfast off to a rousing start with Katrina and the Waves. They're walking on sunshine.
Two more records and a great deal of vacuous banter had passed before Donnie Troop looked back into Studio 2. To his surprise, he saw that Chubbs Farley was still at his desk. To his greater surprise, he saw that Chubbs had slumped forward onto it. But Donnie Troop's greatest surprise, as he told the police, was when he rushed through into Studio 2 and found that Charlie Chubbs Farley was dead.
So, a radio setting within a radio setting. John and Val, is there anything you've heard so far that points your suspicions in any particular direction?
Well, so far it all sounds absolutely criminal.
Yes, I would agree. I think I've heard that station. John?
Well, I think following on something as wonderful as Take the A Train with Walking on Sunshine is good enough reason for the murder to have gone the other way.
Right, right, yes. Well, I think that's perfectly fair. And given the very limited amount of information you have, very good. I think we should get a few more of the basic facts from the official inquiry into the death of Chubbs Farley. The officer in charge of the police investigation is Inspector Sergeant. He's sadly still recovering from a Masonic dinner last night, but is nonetheless giving a press conference, which we will join.
Right, thank you. Could you gather round quietly, please? Mr. Farley was killed by electrocution. The headphones he wore throughout his show had their lead removed from its proper socket and brought into contact with the bare live wire, which sent the full power of the mains through him. I know how he feels. There is no possibility that this could have happened accidentally, so we are left with the options of murder or possible suicide. To deal with the latter first, Mr. Farley's career was not at its peak. After his success in the 60s and 70s, first as a pirate disc jockey, then at Radio 1, his prospects had diminished considerably. And there was a strong feeling round Radio Goldie that the station's new manager, Geraldine Barker, was likely soon to be giving him his marching orders. So that could have been a motive for suicide. But Mr. Farley apparently never talked about doing away with himself and left no note. We can be very specific about the time of Mr. Farley's death. He was heard on air at the 6 o'clock junction with the Donnie Troop show, and Mr. Troop noticed through the glass into Studio 2 that he was dead at about 6:10. So early in the morning, there were not many people in the Radio Goldie FM building. The two engineers who work overnight were having a cup of coffee together in the canteen. Oh, cup of coffee. Mr. Troop was there, obviously, but he was on air in Studio 1. The station's new manager, Geraldine Barker, had come in early to do some work in her office. And also present was Carrie Clarkson, who some of you may remember as one of our plucky heptathletes at the Atlanta Olympics. Carrie, who is now making a career in the media, did traffic reports on the Chubbs Farley show, so she would have been in and out of Studio 2 between midnight when his show started and 6 a.m. Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much, Inspector Sergeant. You go and get that coffee. Well, John and Val, you have a few more facts. Did you find any of them at all helpful?
I'm very interested in the sudden appearance at the end of the statement about Carrie Clarkson being on the premises.
Do you remember her?
I do remember her.
17th, I think, in the heptathlon.
I thought, yes.
Plucky.
Very plucky. Val?
Well, as a former trade union official, I'm always deeply suspicious of anyone in management. And I think that Geraldine might have decided to, as it were, kill two birds with one stone, to get rid of Chubbs in a very spectacular way that would give the radio station a lot of publicity and, of course, up their ratings.
Well, thank you. You're very well attuned to the ways of the media. but you are still suffering from a touch of fact deprivation. So let's get some more information from some of the people involved in the case in the form of statements which they have given to the police. And the first comes from the station manager of Radio Goldie FM, Geraldine Barker.
Yeah, I can't pretend I'm sorry about Chubbs Farley's death. He was making my life very difficult at Radio Goldie. He just, like, didn't take any notice of what I said, ignored my memos about the station's new music policy. You know, as a disc jockey, he was a real dinosaur, used to working out his own running orders and shoving in any music he felt like. I mean, the day before he died, I had specifically told him not to play any more jazz. I mean, it's commercial death in a station like this. And what's the number that Chubbs finishes his show with? Take the A train. I mean, I have been brought in to make some big changes at Radio Goldie. The listener profile is way, way too old at the moment. I mean, we're going to bring that down, get a younger audience. Obviously, yeah, that's going to mean heads will roll. Well, look, Chubbs Farley was definitely on the way out. I don't think any of the regular jocks, frankly, can feel that secure. I mean, not even Donny Troop. Carrie Clarkson, well, she's nearer the right age for the profile we're after, but so far as I can tell, she is totally without talent. Oh, yeah, I frequently come into work early in the morning, yeah, around 5. Well, I'm new to the job, there's a hell of a lot to do. Yeah, I probably am a bit of a workaholic, yeah. My career? I did a degree in engineering at Southampton, joined the BBC as a studio manager, then moved into commercial radio on the management side. On the relevant morning, I was working in my office from 5 until 6:10 when I had a call from Donny Troop to say that Chubbs Farley was dead. Well, I went down to Studio 2, saw what had happened, and called the police. Now, if you don't mind, I really must go. I've got a hell of a lot to do.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Barker, but I'm afraid I must detain you just a little longer. Right, guest investigators, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine Geraldine Barker.
You say that you'd ordered him not to play any more jazz, and yet the last thing that he went out on was Take the A Train. Is it possible, do you suppose, that that final record and that final exchange between him and Donny Troop could have come from the archives?
I think it's possible. It's highly unlikely.
Why do you say it's unlikely?
Well, because they do the handovers live.
And it wouldn't work if they didn't?
I don't think so. I don't think the way they work, no. I mean, it's very, very sharp, the way they work.
But with an engineering background, you must recognise that it's possible that, say, for example, Donny Troop had wanted to give himself an alibi. He could have taken something from the archives and played it out on the air as if it were going out live.
Sure. Smart thinking, yeah, smart. Have you told the police that?
John, I'm very interested in this banter, which you say was very sharp on some occasions. Did you in some way egg on these people to be sharp towards one another?
Yeah, we always like the changeovers, you know, to be punchy, to be snappy.
And might it not have given your ratings a kick up the Khyber if the kind of argument that went on between these two disc jockeys were increasingly vociferous and increasingly public?
Let me just tell you that our ratings largely depend on the music we play. No jock is bigger than the station.
But a murdered jock might certainly prove to be bigger than the station, and that might well get people turning on.
Sure,
in.
No, I've been told by some of the tabloids we're going to be on the front page tomorrow, which I'm happy about. I'm very sad that Charlie's dead, but, you know, it puts the profile up.
We will now move on to our second statement, which was given by Radio Goldie FM's breakfast DJ, Donny Troop.
The sad thing about Charles was that he really was past it. I mean, we go back a long way, he and I, back to pirate radio. Charles didn't change with the times, though. Still played the same music. Yes, even put in some of his old boring jazz. He'd no longer got his finger on the pulse, like I have. Yeah, he still had a few fans, but they were, like, geriatric, like, dying off, really.
Oh, I still have fans, certainly. Still get pairs of knickers sent through the post. I think being attractive to women is one of those things you've either got or you haven't. And I know which particular side of the divide I sit on that one. Now, Chums always had to work at it with women. They didn't throw themselves at him like they always have done with me. But I think he could well have been having a bit of nookie with that Carrie Clarkson. He implied he was, round the canteen. Yeah, you can see through between Studios 1 and 2, but not when you're actually on air, the mic desks face in the opposite direction. So I saw Chubbs doing his show when I came in to do mine. I always cut it fine, so say it was around 10 to 6 when I got in. We did the 6 o'clock handover, as usual, and it was only after I'd played a couple of discs I looked back into Studio 2, and there he was, slumped over the desk. I hurried in and found he was dead. Yeah, real shock. No, didn't say anything on the air. Well, we're an easy listening station. Didn't want to upset the folks out there. No, I rang up to Geraldine's office and she came down. I didn't see anyone other than Chubbs in Studio 2, no, but I guess Carrie Clarkson must have got in there to do the odd traffic report during the show. Like I said, Chubbs had taken quite a shine to that kid. Me? I hadn't come on to her. No, you have to understand. I don't come on to women. They come on to me. Can I go now? I've got to open a supermarket.
Yeah, you can go very soon, Donny. Just a few more questions. Right, guest investigators, you have 2 minutes of cross-examination. John, maybe you'd like to kick off this time.
Yes, Donny. You say that that Carrie Clarkson didn't show any particular interest in you.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yes. How did you feel about this?
Well, you know, there's got to be some that you slip through the net, you know what I mean? But obviously I hadn't spoken much with her, a little bit of chat, and I'm sure she'd have come round. But she was obviously concentrating on Chubbs, because Chubbs had given her a break, you know, because he had her as his traffic girl. I don't have a traffic girl. I give the traffic reports myself. Had a girl once, had to sack her on air. She cried. Great radio.
Do you listen to your own broadcasts afterwards? Do you tape your broadcasts and listen to them afterwards to see if you can get some pointers?
Not anymore. I did when I started out. I listened to a lot when I started out. You've got to do that to find out what you listen like, because you never know what you listen like. But after so many years being a jock, I know what I listen like. I can talk and listen at the same time.
Does Radio Goldie routinely tape all the programmes?
Yeah, there's a log, yeah.
Yeah? So it theoretically would be possible for you to go back through the log and find, say, an old interchange between yourself and Chubby that you could have, for example.
I see where you're going, yes. Well, actually, yeah, technically it would, but the thing is it wouldn't work, you see, because the log is kept on a VHS tape, okay, and they use a VHS tape because they can use the tape really, really slowly, and that means the quality is really, really poor. In fact, it's mono rather than stereo. The log is just a record in case someone says something libelous. We can go back and check what we've said. So the log, if you did that from the log, it would come across in mono, not stereo. Someone would notice straight away, so that really couldn't be done.
What's your relationship with the new manager of the station, Geraldine?
Geraldine, she's out there. She's ready for it. She's a woman on the move.
Could you translate that into English for me?
She's a bitch.
And we'll progress to our third statement, which was given by the girl who does Radio Goldie FM's traffic reports, former Olympic heptathlete Carrie Clarkson.
Well, radio is very different from being a heptathlete, you know, no question. But, like, I've done a lot of radio interviews, you know, at the Olympics in Atlanta and that kind of stuff. And I got, like, a really bubbly personality. And Desmond Lynam once said I got a bubbly personality, so how about that? Oh, Chubbs Farley, he was, like, really good to me, you know. Most of the other DJs didn't take much notice, like, when I came in to do the traffic, you know. But Chubbs always, like, included me. You know, we got a bit of banter going on air. Well, about my breasts mostly, yes. I quite often sat in on Chubb's show. No, not much of traffic reports in the middle of the night, you know, but I wanted to learn about broadcasting, you know, and Chubbs was happy to share his experience with me, you know, so I think he did fancy me, yeah, but I wouldn't have let him touch me. No. Oh, my boyfriend Keith, you know, he's a javelin thrower. He's dead jealous, right? He'd have killed Chubbs if anything like that had gone on. Oh, that's a rather unfortunate thing to say, isn't it? No, Chubbs did used to ramble on a bit while records were playing. You know, he kept saying he'd got lots of dirt on people and he could finish a few careers at Radio Goldie if he wanted to, you know. You know, he wasn't worried about Geraldine Barker sacking him, no. He said he knew something about, you know, what she did when she were working at the BBC or something that she'd like keeping quiet. No, he didn't tell me what it were, no. Yeah, I was in Studio 2 last night, sat in on a bit of the show. I left at about 5:30, went up to the office, because the traffic reports start coming in then, yeah. No, I don't know. I'll take over Chubb Show, no. I know I could do it really well, yeah, but whether Geraldine would agree to let me do it, I'm not so sure. It's only a matter of time, though. You know, I'm going to make it really, really big in this business.
Good luck, Carrie. I'm
sure you will
make it very big.
Oh, thanks.
If you could just stay for a couple of minutes of questioning, that would be very kind. Yes. Val, Carrie Clarkson is your witness.
You say that Chubbs had the dirt on people at the station. Did he ever give you any clue as to what that might be?
No, you know, he used to ramble through the records, and I can't remember any of it. You know, it goes in one ear, out the other.
So your relationship really with Chubbs was purely a professional one. You were using him to learn about radio.
That's right, yeah, and when I did the traffic reports, you know, Geraldine likes a bit of banter, you know, on air, in between the music.
Would it surprise you or shock you to find that Chubby had been talking in the canteen about having had a sexual relationship with you?
I'd bloody kill him if he says that. Well, I can I?
If you weren't interested at all in dear old Chubbs, what about Mr. Sex Machine from Goldie Radio? What about dear old Donny Troop? How did you react to his, he tells us, undoubted charms?
Oh, Donny's a bit of a joke, really, on the station, you know, because he thinks lots of women are after him, but they're not, actually, you know.
So there was nothing between you and Donny, nothing between you and Chubbs. Everything in the radio station for you was absolutely professional, centred on where you wanted to get to.
That's right. I mean, you know, I used to go in and sometimes sit in with Donny. In fact, I went in that morning because the traffic at the Anger Lane gyratory system was really getting kind of busy. So I took him a report, but it was just out of the studio, so I just left it on his desk.
So where were you at the specific time, as far as we know, the 10 minutes between 6 o'clock and 6:10, when dear old Chubbs met his demise?
I went up to the office, got the traffic report, took it back down to Donny, took it into his studio, just left it on the table, went to the loo, and then I think I went back up to the office, yeah.
John and Val, you are now in possession of a great many more facts. Are you any clearer in your thinking about who might have done away with Chubbs Farley?
I think without any doubt, I can say, it was Geraldine Barker.
It was, right.
And I think what happened was that she felt that she needed to get Radio Goldie out into the 20th century before it was too late. She knew that she needed to get rid of Chubbs Farley first, and then she could get rid of the rest of the ageing jocks. But Chubbs, unfortunately, had something, and I don't yet know what it is, something on her from her past when she was working at the BBC.
Val.
The more I hear about this, the more inclined I am to think that Donny Troop has some questions to answer here. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Donny was clearly out of his studio at the crucial time.
Yeah.
And I know I've been sort of banging on a bit about this sort of stuff from the archives, but I think he could easily have taken something from the archives to cover the fact that by this stage Chubbs was already in his death throes, plugged into the mains by Donny.
Very interesting, both of them. Oh! Sorry, the pager in my pocket is vibrating to tell me that I've got a message. Ah, it's from Inspector Sergeant. Hello, Inspector.
I'd like to tell you that some new evidence has emerged in the case. We've had a phone call from an elderly lady called Mrs. Gladys Moxon, who describes herself as Chubbs Farley's greatest fan. Here's a recording of the call.
It's a terrible thing, isn't it? I mean, a great talent like Chubbs Farley just snuffed out. I've been a fan of his ever since he started when he was on the pirate radio. Yeah, I've heard every show he's ever done. I've written to him loads of times and he's always wrote back, yeah. He'd confide his troubles to me, you know. When there was all that fuss about disc jockeys taking bribes to play certain records, you know, he was worried that he might come under suspicion. Not that he ever done nothing wrong, although all the others, you know, was probably taking bungs. And then when he was at Radio 1, there was some scandal about studio managers selling illegal copies of music sessions. But he was afraid he might have been implicated in that, yeah. Or he confided in me, you know. And he played music, you know, especially for me, you know. I like jazz, you know, Duke Ellington. And twice in the last week he's finished his show with Take the A-Train, yeah. Especially for me that was, yeah. I know, because he dedicated it to me, yeah, both times. He was a brilliant man, you know, genius, Chubbs. He really was.
That does put possibly a new complexion on things. John and Val, has what you've just heard changed your views about what actually happened to Chubbs Farley?
Well, it gives us certainly an area of questioning to put to Geraldine Barker that we now have fairly hefty hint that she might have been the studio manager implicated.
That new piece of evidence gives some credence to my theory. The other piece of evidence which gives credence to your theory is the fact that he was forever dedicating Take the A-Train to our Gladys. It could add to your theory about the crime and to mine.
What might get you further forward is a bit of follow-up questioning. You can now call back each of the three people who previously gave statements and ask them one further question each. Who would you like to summon to the stand first?
We'll have Geraldine.
We'll have Geraldine. Yes.
Geraldine,
yeah.
Barthbrock.
I've told you everything I know, okay?
Have you told us everything you know about your successful second career at the BBC when you were a studio manager? The passing on and sale of tapes of studio sessions?
Look, that's libelous.
It may be libelous, but is it true?
Of course it's not true. Of course it's not true. I have nothing in my past that I am ashamed of.
With Chubbs gone, does it make the existing DJ's positions any more secure?
Not at all. I mean, you know, I have a station to run, and Chubb's unfortunate demise really doesn't change that at all.
Right, thank you. Who would you like to summon to the stand next?
I don't think I'm up to Kari's bubbly personality quite yet.
I think Donny, the sex machine, let's... Donny, hi.
Hi.
Tell us, Donny, right at the beginning of the show on this morning that poor old Chubbs made the graveyard shift no longer a metaphor but an actuality, what were you doing out of the studio during the first record when it was being played?
Yeah, I wasn't out of the studio. I was in the studio there. The first couple of records, I really get myself together. I cut it pretty fine. I had to be fresh when I came into the studio, so I came in around 10 to 6. That means a little bit of preparation there. The first couple of records, I'm flicking through the Daily Star to see what kind of news stories I'm going to bring forward for the listeners.
Val,
if I told you that there is in existence, in the hands of a great fan of radio, tapes of all the last week's handovers between you and Chubby,
uh-huh,
would that worry you at all?
Well, no, like I say, there's a log of the station anyway. I mean, you don't need a fan to have that. The station logs all the output on the VHS, as I said, because they need to do it in big chunks. You know, VHS on long play, you can do 8 hours at a time. That's three VHSs for 24 hours. That means that you can store them pretty easily, you know.
Thank you for blinding me with science again.
That's right.
But if you yourself wanted to tape a program, it would be very easy for you just to slot a cassette in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's a cassette machine there. You can tape it, but the output is very different. You see, the output... I know you're going on about the thing about playing a tape, aren't you? Yeah. Okay, well, I have to say that it's just not going to be technically possible because a cassette is not broadcast quality. And once that cassette has gone through compression, has gone through the booster, has gone through the mast, when it reaches people's radios, people are going to notice the difference. It's just not going to be technically possible.
You know a lot about the technical side of radio.
Hey, I've been in radio a long time.
So it would be entirely within your capabilities to wire a set of headphones up to the mains.
No, that's for an electrician rather than a DJ.
Yes. Thank you very much, Donny. You've been most helpful. Are you up to a bubbly personality, do you think?
Oh, after Donny, probably.
Yes. Carrie, if you'd like to rejoin us.
Hello.
How is your gyratory system, by the way?
Oh, mine. It's lovely, thanks.
Good. Last
I still
trip
train,
to the doctor,
that's
okay,
why.
Yes, good.
John has had his questions.
Yeah, you told us earlier that you had gone into the studio, Donny's studio.
That's right. Yeah.
Just after 6 o'clock,
that's
just
right.
After the handover, and the studio was empty.
Yeah.
Donny denies that he left the studio at all during that time.
He denied that, did he?
He did. He denied it entirely.
Well, I know he wasn't there because I went in, I burst in the door, you know, and said, Donny, look, you know, really bad traffic. You better tell people quick, you know. And I felt a bit stupid, you know, because there were no one there. I just talked to myself.
Right. Well, John and Val, you've had your supplementary questions, and now I'm afraid there is nowhere to hide. You have to commit yourselves. The big whodunit question. You don't have to agree on this, but you do both have to tell me who you think murdered Chubbs Farley. Val, who would you finger at the moment?
Oh, it's a very difficult question, Simon.
Yes.
My instinct would put Kari in the electric chair, except that I can't think of a really convincing motive as to why she would have done it.
No.
After our second encounter with the witnesses, though, I think I'm probably going to go back to my first choice, which is to go back to Geraldine.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, having heard Donny's pathetic attempts at explaining the intricacies of taped sound and broadcasting,
yeah,
I really don't think this is a man who could be relied on to wire anything up to the mains without fusing the entire national grid.
Right. Yep.
So on the basis that, as I say, I can't think of a convincing motive for Kari, and Donny just simply isn't up to the mark, darling.
Right.
I'm going to have to plump for Geraldine.
Okay, John, where are you?
Well, I think, yes, I agree with Val to some degree about Carrie. I too think it was Geraldine.
Right.
I don't think Donnie is capable of doing anything very much anymore.
Well, that's interesting. A fine tapestry of intellectual reasoning you've both woven there. Let's find out if either of you have got the design right, because now we're about to find out what really happened that fateful night at Radio Goldie FM. Yes, it's time for the Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Lee and Maria waft us away to the studio and the last ever Charlie Chubbs Farley Show.
And there it was, Scott McKenzie bringing back the summer of love. Whole lot of loving went on then for Chubbs. Oh, yes. And now the 3 degrees ask that old question. When will I see you again?
Carrie, how are you and your two bazookas?
I'm really, really furious, Chubbs. I've just been having a coffee with one of the engineers. He says you told him we've been having an affair.
Man can dream, can't he? Oh, come on. Gives me a bit of street cred with the guys.
But if my boyfriend Keith hears what you've been saying, he'll murder me. You got to stop saying it, Chubbs.
And if I don't?
Well, then I'll stop you saying it. I will.
Oh, hi there.
Good morning, Chubbs. What are you doing here, Carrie? Oh, I was just going to get a traffic report.
So, to what do I owe this pleasure, Geraldine?
I thought I'd tell you to your face, Chubbs. I've just signed up Jed Jemson from Splurge FM. You finish at the end of the week.
You're making a big mistake, Geraldine.
I don't think so.
I've done a deal with the News of the World, my life story, all the dirt, Paola scandals, names of studio managers who did illegal copying at the BBC.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, I would, unless I keep my job.
Listen, I am going to stop you
from... Hi, Donnie.
Morning, Chubbs.
Damn. Can't do anything while Donnie's through there. Don't worry, I'll get you, Chubbs Farley.
Chubbs, you still doing your News of the World piece?
Too right I am, Donnie.
Still planning to reopen the whole Paola scandal?
Oh, yes.
But that'll ruin me. Give Geraldine a perfect excuse to sack me.
I know.
Well, I'm not going to let you do it.
How are you going to stop me, Donnie?
I'm going to kill you.
You'd never get away with it.
Oh, yes, I will, because I'll have an alibi.
What?
You're about to do a posthumous broadcast, Chubbs. I recorded the end of your Monday show. I'll play that in after I've killed you. Be safely in Studio One to do the handover from the tape live. And when I come to find your body, simply erase the tape.
What are you doing with my headphones?
Chubbs, I want you to listen to something that's really going to blow your mind. End of record coming up.
When will I see you again?
And cue tape.
That was nice, 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 nice. And it's time for the last of Chubb's tunes. And this one goes out specially to Mrs. Gladys Moxon, the great Duke Ellington, with Take the A-Train.
So, that's what happens to people who like jazz. Val, I must say, about 10 minutes into the programme, I thought I was going to have to stop and we weren't going to go any further. But I'm glad to say you got diverted from the truth and accused Geraldine.
Absolutely.
Yes. John, you were on the Geraldine front too.
Yeah. I was indeed, yes. I always think if there's a woman in it, she probably did it.
Cherchez la femme. Okay. Well, that's the end of this week's Foul Play. My thanks, as ever, go to a whole radio station full of characters, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And thanks, too, to this week's splendidly incisive guest investigators, John Harvey and Val McDermid.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Liz Anstey.